Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, some of you may think this is weird, but I loved it. I've been wanting to talk to a psychic medium for some time now, but never knew who to trust. I learned about Nancy Matz through a friend of mine and decided to take a chance and call her. I learned about my children, my job, and other fun mystical stuff. I was so impressed. She was right on with so many things. After talking to Nancy Matz, I walked away feeling great. Call her 916-773-1657 or nancymatz.com. That's nancymatz.com.
Well, good evening, everybody. And we're just winding down, and tomorrow is the first day of fall. My sister has joined us. Hello, Bonnie.
Hi, Nancy.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. And our room chat room is starting to creep in there. I was kind of curious how many people we'd have in tonight, Bonnie, because Heroes is on tonight, and it started at 7 for 2 hours. So we will see how busy we get. Anyway, I always like to start with a theme. On Saturday's show in Phoenix, I started with the theme of ghost. And this past week, a week ago, we lost Patrick Swayze he was in his own right just fabulous in a lot of his movies, and of course, I'll mention those others later. But the favorite movie of all was in 89 or 90, I can't remember, Ghost came out. And the last scene where he's kissing Molly goodbye, and the energy, as it opens up around him, we can see his face, and he goes to kiss her, and he says, Molly, we take our love with us. And on YouTube, I was able to find that last scene and downloaded it to one of my sites. And the site, proofofsoulsurvival.com, if you go down to the left side, there's that little piece at the end of the movie where he's greeted by all the spirit people. And I have to say to you that not only was my favorite movie, but, of course, it happened just as I was getting into this business. And that's actually how I see that mist around the people as they pass over. Now, what wasn't shown is in the beginning, he turned away from passing over, and the window closed. I don't quite see it that way. There is a choice, but I don't know if they decide not to go through the portal, what that looks like. But what is missing is that when we pass over, there is someone always there to greet us. And they're not so far away that they have to walk to see them. They are there. So it appears and feels like to me that we close our eyes to this life and open them up on the other side. How that transition, if you're wide awake and you die, how does that work? Do you close your eyes and open them up, or is it that transition that happens that we cannot tell? I don't know everything. I'm just a human being. And until we experience the final adventure, as my mother said, you just go through it. One of the most beautiful scenes in all television history, of course, is that. Now, we want to go and have a playful look at it. You can go back to Topper. And, of course, Cary Grant played the role of Topper. So you can go even to a car crash, and they just get out of the car and walk around. Now, there's no visual of anybody greeting them. But if you want to see that last snippet, proofofsoulsurvival.com. That's one of the books I'm trying to put together, as well as everything else. So I want to contribute to this gentleman and this movie that was made. And from that movie, he made the ultimate choice. The choice was to stay and find out who killed him or to go on. So I want to present a new theme, kind of a two-play here. If you've had this experience in your life where you've seen the portal around somebody, and Bonnie, we can share what you saw. Or the other thing is how important it is to continually have personal choices. I found that human beings, myself, Bonnie, and everybody I know, were happiest when it appears that we have choices to make. Mm-hmm. Today I talked to a gal on the phone, lady friend, client, talked to her a month ago, and clearly I saw an outcome of her employment. When I called her today, she was still vacillating over staying or leaving. In reality, if she's listening, hello there, I did see her leaving. In her mind, she was afraid of choice. In her mind, she's afraid of change. So if she were to stay at work for the continued 3 more years, would it be happy years? I told her to make this decision. Make your decision based on the choices you have in life and the expected outcome. All human beings need choices. As a great philosopher said one time, if you don't make a path of where you want to go, you'll never get there. And I really truly believe that. I am always creating new doors and new opportunities. I love the process of choice. Now, some people who have no desire to make choice, who cannot make choices, and they never make changes in their life. Tell me, who's the happiest, the one that creates choices or the one who does not accept any choice at all? So those are our themes tonight. Of course, and Bonnie, we already have some in the chat room, but I want to give the number out. Okay, sure. Everybody, the guest call-in number, 347 area code, 205-9071. So I'll give it to you one more time. The area code is 347-205-9071. And I am noticing that someone's already, Ms. Moakley, hello. Okay, so that's a personal question to me. Now I'll answer it in a second. If someone in the chat room wants to type me, Bonnie and I will answer them as we can. It's sometimes difficult to watch a chat room when you're so concentrating on an answer. So be patient with us. We at no time intend to ever overlook a question. It certainly is not intentional, but I get quite focused. And I can miss a whole slew of questions. So put them in caps, and we'll at least notice it. And as far as her question, there's a question here. How do you handle friends getting a reading from you but paying someone else for a reading? There is a place for a gift certificate on my website. I believe it's right on the front page or on the tab called Contact Me. You can either do a gift certificate and it will be paid upon receipt of the gift, or you pay for it ahead of time, and I just book it out far enough so whenever your friend wants to. Pretty easy. Do me a favor, nancymatz.net. Go to that website and see if you can find it. It's been a while since someone asked me for it. There is a gift certificate that has been paid for a short session for me, and the person has yet to collect that money. I don't know how they do it from that side. But anyway, that's how you do it. And if there's any question, email me, nancy@nancymatz.com. Well, Bonnie, I think we should jump right in. We have a question from the 831 area code. I'm not sure. Oops, the screen just, remind me. Just as I was about ready to start the show tonight, this is before Bonnie called in, Internet Explorer had to reboot. Kind of startled me. I went, oh, how shocking. So I was lucky to get in fast enough tonight, but I'm not sure I know what the problem is. Could be that this is the New York East Coast blog talk. And I think they're having storms over there. So if you guys lose us in the midst of all the show, Bonnie and I will try to get back right quick. But there was a problem, started out with a bang. I went, oh, boy. But, you know, I believe in everything's in divine. So if we're lost tonight for some reason, I wouldn't know. But hopefully we'll get to keep our people. So the first caller tonight is 831 area code. Hello.
Good evening.
Hello there. Yes, and who's speaking?
Hi, this is Christina. Is this Nancy?
Yes, it is.
Well, good evening. It's yes. Lovely to hear your voice.
You have a great voice, Christina. I wish I could put it in a can and take it to the other station for me. Great voice. Great voice. Now, curious, 831, I apologize, but I get so many of these area codes, I'm not sure. Where's 831? Is that Southern California?
I'm in Salinas, California, near Monterey, Carmel.
That's kind of south from Sacramento, where I remember.
Yeah, I'm not too far. I think I'm maybe an hour or two.
Yeah. So, my dear.
I love Sacramento.
Yeah. I did,
it's
too.
Beautiful.
The trees didn't like me. Trees certainly didn't like me. Okay, my dear, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, I had a question, and can we ask any type of question, or... I want
Sure. Give us something here. Yeah.
Okay. I was approached to be a part of a documentary and a television program, a project, and I was wondering, do you see this working out, and will it help a lot of people?
Remember, don't give us contact. We don't want to break your confidentiality.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's enough. I mean, that's great. What I'm saying is, and goodness, if you're on a documentary with your gorgeous voice, it's just going to sound wonderful. And Bonnie's on the air.
Thank you.
What time frame did they say? Is it all a year out or so? I mean, how far out are we looking?
Well, I was just approached, and I'm going to be talking about it soon in the next couple of weeks. So we're in the beginning stages right now. I'm just honored to.
Okay, so what they're doing is lining.
They're
lining
the
up the
beginnings.
Okay, it could take. Bonnie, jump in anytime, dear. My first impression was we're looking at some months. Please don't get discouraged, because I feel
not
like
at all.
They're putting it together so they can propose it to somebody to get funding.
Okay.
I don't think the funding, everything's been done. So they're getting their ducks in a row so they can approach somebody. So, Bonnie, it feels 10 months, 12, 11? What'd you get?
Well, I think what you said the first time when you said that you thought the funding wasn't complete, they kind of need to have something to show a little bit. And I'm glad to know they're going to have you, Christina. You know, Christina, I want to say hi because I remember talking to you before. We were talking once about Salinas, and I remember that you're from there. And by any chance, does this subject have anything to do with sort of a healthcare kind of thing?
Near-death experience I had as a 12-year-old little girl.
Well, you're close as healthcare.
I was thinking it had something to do with that sort of, well, healthcare is a little off, but I thought it had something to do with a more personal. So you had a near-death experience yourself when you were 12.
Wow, I love it.
Very interesting.
Yes, I did, and it was amazing.
Well, I think that sounds like a fabulous, that's the kind of thing that can be very helpful to people as they, it certainly would have been very helpful to me as our mother passed away recently to have seen something like that. I mean, Nancy and I believe very strongly in that, but still, it's wonderful to share experiences at a time when you're going through kind of a rough time. So, yeah, I think of course it would be helpful to people. That was your question. Extremely.
Yeah, I just really want to make sure that the intent is in the right place, because, I'm a little nervous because I've never been approached by anyone before, but, I respect the person.
Well, that's very important, that you know who they are.
He's a doctor, and an expert researcher. Yes.
Fascinating.
Anytime that you get approached, you have to take it as this amazing, amazing compliment to you. As Bonnie and I talk, location is everything, and good luck is also very important. Now, I'm going to give a little caution here. I think it's going to be put together. I do see it working toward that direction, but because I can't see you stand in front of the camera, don't take it as negative. But I do see them working on it, and I kind of get, where are we here, September? May not even get going until May or June. And it's just a matter of doing it. I think they're going to get, they can make a movie, and sometimes they'll make a movie, and they'll cut a third of it out. Until it's done, it's not done. So
it's like two separate projects I've been approached to be a part of, and
great.
I just had like this reaction, my whole body just started shaking, and I've never, when I take that as a sign, like, okay, this is something good. Okay, he is speaking the truth. His intent is good, but I just wanted some validation because it's kind of like whenever I go through change, it's like I go kicking and screaming, even though it is from my best. I'm like a little girl. So. kind of going through that. Well, thank you guys so much. And would I be able to listen, because you gals are so insightful, and I just absolutely love your show, and I love hearing what you all have to say, and it was good to say hello to your sister, so hi.
Hi. Well, you let us know as that program is developing, because certainly Nancy and I would be very interested in watching it. I'd love to know your experience.
Yes, I'll send you guys an email, and I'll definitely keep you posted, and you know, definitely let you know when it airs. But I, you know, when you were telling me it was several months off, I felt that too. I felt, well, it's the beginning stages. You have to have an attorney or an agent. Yes. So I'm like, okay. But thank you. I'll listen now because I know that there are others that are waiting to talk. And I just want to thank you guys so much. And you'll hear from me. I'll send you a message in the morning. I don't want to stay this evening and not do it.
Sure.
My little ones are up and in bedtime and whatnot. So I usually lay down and end up falling asleep with them just because I'm, you know, resting, and you start noticing the sound of the clock and everything gets peaceful. I pass out, they're still up. So anyway, have a wonderful evening, gals. It was great talking with you.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, dear. I'll leave you
Thank
on
you.
Here.
Thank you.
Oh, I can't wait
These,
to see that. We've talked to, well, you've, Lord Nancy, you've talked to so many people that have had that near-death experience and actually come back after being, you know, there are people, we didn't find out if Christina had been declared gone when then came back, but that, of course, happens. You know, you were referring, do you have a caller there, Nancy?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Oh, you do, okay.
Screen keeps jumping around. I've had a lot of wonderful opportunities to talk to some really genuine people who have wonderful abilities and have had a lot of experiences, and how do we, well, who was I talking to the other day about? Everybody's life is an amazing story. And then if you talk to people who have amazing situations in their life, what brings it to happening? So people look at my life and they go, and then I look at someone else's had a really, maybe Christina with her near death at 12, I go, wow, you know, we're all going wow all the time. And it just gives much more volume to everything that we're about and what we do in our own life. We have area code 561. Who's this, please?
Hello, Bonnie and Nancy.
Oh, hello there.
Christina from Florida.
Hello.
Hello, sweetie. How you doing?
Hey,
what's
how
going
are you?
On? Good. What's going on with you?
I just wanted to ask you, girl. An old boyfriend of mine keeps trying to contact me through email, and I just wanted to see what you can get on the scoop on him.
Just give us the first name that he goes by.
Lou.
I'd be, you know, the only thing is I think he's kind of checking out, trying to find out where you're coming from. I'm not saying he has a lady in the background but he's married, but I'm kind of thinking maybe he's between ladies and he's kind of checking around to see who's available. So I want to give really some caution on this guy. I don't think he's a bad person. He does what everybody else does. He's kind of lining up the next person that could be in his life.
Yeah.
Bonnie?
Yeah, I'm kind of a little curious. You said that he's trying to get a hold of you. Have you actually gotten emails from him and you haven't answered them, or you've read his emails, or how is it he's trying to find out where you are, you think?
I have a few profiles on some dating sites
that I see.
A few years ago that I never took off, and he keeps responding that way, and I'm not answering him because it didn't work the first time with him.
Well, if it didn't work the first time, then you know he's probably not interested in exclusive relationships. If he's still looking at the dating websites, then he's still dating, and that's probably not something you're really looking for right now.
That could have been a caution I picked up in the other lady. He may be having someone around him, but he's getting on site to see who's out there and just stumbled across you. I don't think he found you as much as he came across you. I don't think he was looking for you.
But when he found you,
he went, oh.
Yeah. He found you and thought, oh, I'll say hello. But you said it didn't work out that well the first time, so you're probably lucky not to that you haven't responded so far.
I'd rather have nobody in my life than him. I was just curious why he's starting to bother me after I broke up with him in February.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I was just trying to remember of a story. I have a gal that graduated high school 20 years ago, and all of a sudden someone from her past, and she says, I don't even know if you remember. Well, her words were, when we were in high school, I don't even remember thinking he even looked at me. So why is he looking at me now?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if that's so, then usually these people want something. whether it's emotional fluffing or to have a, you don't know, because if there wasn't like bells, whistles, and wonderful relationship before, what's going to make it different? People don't change that much. No.
Okay.
Go
All
on,
right.
girl. All right, sweet. Nice talking.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, honey.
Let me see if I can hang this. Okay, so I want to give the call-in number, 347-205-9071. I just want a couple of things here. Someone in the room says, I think I had a near-death experience, and someone else said, I know I had a near-death experience when I was 5. Amazing, when I talk to people, it's amazing how many people say they are adopted. Unbelievable. But then when you start talking about near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences, I really don't know the tab on it, but I think it's a huge number. I don't think this is exclusive to a club. I think that this goes across the board to all ethnicities, all religious, all countries, that this happens a lot. I'll share a real quick story. I know we had people probably wanting to Bonnie, help me watch this room. The chat room didn't roll out. Okay. And but anyway, Denise said it was in her mid-30s, about 10 years ago, when she had her near-death experience. Anyway, how did she do it in red? Okay, let me know how you do that font stuff. I can't. I love this. The chat room is really, really, really fun. Nothing like knocking me off my trend of thought, huh? Bonnie, we were talking about near-death experiences, and I wanted to go back to the thought how often it does happen in our society, and we don't want to talk about it. And I was trying to think who wrote the book on near-death experiences, but one of my favorite books about out-of-body experiences is A Soul Traveler by Albert Taylor. And what I think was really amazing, he came out with this book about 15 years ago, but it was top 10 million numbers sold. And you have to think that if a book becomes that popular, how many people have out-of-body experiences but never talk to anybody else about it, or near-death experiences, and they never address that. So I find these numbers absolutely amazing. Someone said that during a swimming camp. The other thing I want to bring up, and this is where I was going with this, as far as I know, in my conscious memory, I don't remember a tragedy that would fall Bonnie or I where we would have a near-death experience. But I had a couple of girlfriends who passed away, and one was Marilyn Crowe in Sacramento, California. So if anybody knows of this person, then you may, you know, let us know that. Anyway, she had bronchitis terrible. It was always hard to talk to her. And she was an online psychic. Bless her heart, she was a very, very nice lady. Anyway, before she died, we were talking one night and talking about this topic, and she says, how come you never brought up that you died? And I go, whoa, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Of course, I was just taken back. And she says, about the time you were 6 years old, you died. And she says, I'm surprised you don't remember that. Well, when I was 6 years old, I had my tonsils out. And when mother brought us home, she gave me an aspirin. And in the morning, when they went to the bedroom to get me up, I had almost bled to death during the night. My only memory of that was my mother being very distressed. I don't even know what happened to Bonnie. I might have slept in their bed, mom's bed that night. But her husband-to-be, John, cradled me in his arms and took me to the hospital, and I was in and out of the hospital for a month. And the oddest thing is I have a dream, a memory, and I'm playing with a little girl around a fountain. And the only thing I can venture is to say is how did Marilyn know that I had this crisis in my life at 6, and then I have this memory of being that age and of playing with this little girl. And the only thing I can remember is playing with her knowing I couldn't stay, that I had to go back. So that's my only claim to something extraordinary like that. Oh, we have Nevada. Bonnie, we have another call.
Oh, okay.
And 702 area code.
Hello?
And that's Nevada. And who's this?
Hi, this is Tracy.
Well, hello, Casey, and nice to meet you. What part of Nevada are you from?
The southern part, Las Vegas.
when my husband and I first moved out of California, we were having a house built in Tucson. We owned a space for the motorhome in Boulder City. His children both live in Henderson, so I'm very familiar with the Las Vegas area. I kind of like it. So it's you know, everybody has a preference. But Casey, how can we help you tonight?
I'm just wondering about some of the things you're talking about, like spirit guides and kind of going back and forth between two worlds. I just feel like I'm not, my life here is just, my time here is done and it's time to move, but nothing has been happening for the last year, so I'm not really sure why I'm stuck or where I'm supposed to go. I'm kind of stuck, I guess.
Oh, I love your question. Everybody pay attention. Okay, here, this is why. There is such a thing, and I'm going to talk quick, not to fill time, but just to give you an idea. Haven't you heard the scientists say deja vu is a feeling of living something, but what happens, the brain is tricked because we can oftentimes live out of sync by about 10 seconds. So that is one theory. Excuse me, I'm getting calls, so apologize, everybody. Hang up 510 area code. So anyway, the other thing is I do believe that human beings have abilities to travel their own timeline. In fact, one of the things that my friend Connie and my stepdaughter to me is Connie and my sister Bonnie, is that we travel our own time, and it's very fun. But when you're not used to doing it, we unconsciously look to the future because of the hope of choice. Remember I talked about it earlier, how what makes us happy as human beings is knowing there are future choices that can be made. So you must be empathic. You feel a lot. So you're feeling the bubble of change ahead of you. Oh, now we have restricted. Okay, whoever's calling me, they always call at night, right? So what I'm speaking to is you must be feeling the bubble of energy on your own timeline of change. The change that's to happen, the domino effect that will set that up is not here for you. It's not here for you yet. I can feel it coming, but I don't feel it within the next couple months. So sometimes you're living your life and all of a sudden something's presented to you that makes you not question but look at it as a choice.
Right.
And then I feel like about 10 to 12 months you can make that change. But what you're feeling is the edge of the bubble because it's so big. And this is an example, everybody. You know, Liz Taylor is one of the most beautiful women in the world, and so I give her my thought. But she's been married 8 times. What if I walked up to this gracious lady and said, you know, I see number 9 right here. Do you think she'd be very excited? She'd go, oh, please. Not at my age. I'm going to hit you with a stick. So the bubble of marriage around her will be very small. How about a woman who's been married 1 or 2 times? And all of a sudden I see around her marriage and something she's desiring and wanting. What kind of energy bubble do you think I would see for that woman? Say it's 3 years or 5 years out. Do you not think that would be a really big bubble of energy? It'd be huge. So depending on the excitement of the change or choice, the bigger the bubble. My feeling is you're going to have an opportunity to move somewhere else. It's going to be exciting. It's what you want, and you're already feeling the bubble of excitement. That's how this works.
That makes sense.
Yep, yep. So it must be a humdinger, girl.
Wow.
How's that?
That makes sense. Thank you. I just wanted to know if I was kind of on the right track with that because I just feel like I'm being pulled back and forth, and it's just really
frustrating. Well, it's the universe. Yeah, I think it's the universe getting you lined up to pay attention to the opportunity of a choice coming your way. So pay attention, and everybody, and I gave a whole talk one night on this. I said, we have a tendency, all of us, to want to live in future choices, that we don't always stand in place living in the moment we are in. And a lot of us, including this little lady that just hung up, Lena, the man that's connecting with her is not looking forward in time. He's looking in reverse time. He's not wanting to risk a future new choice as looking in the past at old choices. It's called retrograding. So I find excitement of life and that our soul grows and enjoys and benefits from life with new future choices. And the more future choices you have to look at that you can decline or accept, it makes you happier. That's huge. It's huge. So everybody just think about, what if I said to you, no one can move out of their seat, no one can move out of their home, you're going to stay there for 20 years. How excited are you going to be about that? But what if I said every 4 to 6 months, a new choice will be floated to you that will change the next step in your life? We all look forward to it. But we're missing out, not living in the moment. And so until choices come, embrace where you are. And for those of you who are suffering, I have to be sensitive with this. If you're suffering where you are with loss all around you, you cannot change that loss. Unless if it's money loss or house loss, get 2 or 3 jobs to make it work. What you need to look at is, if this is where I'm at and I cannot change it, what am I missing then? Is it missing or learning not to miss anymore the pressure? Or are you going to be set free with the bricks off your back? You get to kiss your child 2 or 3 times more an hour versus only 2 or 3 times a day. Where is the magic what you're going through that you're not paying attention to? So there's 2 ways of looking at it. Okay, girl? All right?
Nancy.
Casey, there.
Nancy, is our caller still on?
I'm not sure. Casey, are you there or you'd hang up, girl? Yeah, I might have lost her. I'm looking at the switchboard. It looks like she's still there, so I'll go ahead and hang her up. And I think I left Lena on, too. So, Lena, so that you can listen.
First caller wanted to stay on. Is she still on?
Yep. And okay. Then Lena, I'm not sure. I think she's... I've left her on, too, so let me see if I can hang that up right with up. You know, these, and I was sharing with you people, if we disappear, just before the show started, I was knocked off. I had to reboot. Let me give the guest call-in number, area code 347-205-9071. And until we get a new caller coming in, I do want to mention... that I do have a website, nancymapp.net, and on there you can see the other websites, the 3 others that I have that will reflect new books, Proof of Soul Survival, Dating Relationship Psychic, and that book is going to be called Are You Dating Again? And then the other one, Ghosts, Goblins, and Spirits, and the name of that book is yet to be really decided upon, but it will be dealing with the ghost spirit and paranormal activities. So, Bonnie, have you been watching the chat room? Do we have any questions that I've overlooked?
Yes, actually, Miss Smokey, you know, she wrote that question that you answered earlier, and you believed that it had to do with seeking gift certificates from you. Truthfully, when I read her question, the first question, I actually did not completely understand it and thought that you did when you answered it, but she's writing and saying that her question really pertained to something else. She said that she's referring to kind of a different kind of question where she's saying that she does readings for friends of hers and they don't, she doesn't charge them. But then she discovers, I think, that she finds out that they're paying other psychics for their readings. And she's wondering, Smokey, Miss Smokey is saying this. So, Miss Smokey, is that the correct interpretation of your question, that you wanted to know you're giving free readings to your friends and they're paying other psychics for their readings, and you're asking Nancy how she would handle a similar situation of her friends not paying her? I think
that happens to every intuitive out there.
Yeah.
That clearly has happened to me.
If that's the correct interpretation, because I'm not sure still if that's what she meant. But
well, it's a good topic anyway.
Yeah.
It's a good topic because there's so many intuitives out there. Yeah, there's even in the chat room, there's people that I know who give readings and advice. There's friends of mine that will just call and ask me for a question or two. And you can hardly turn away friend. And then those people that I call family or friends will turn around and actually pay for a reading. And, yeah, it kind of rubs me sometimes, but because they, if you were an accountant or real estate agent, I would call up and say, can I have just a half hour of your time? Sometimes it gets tiring. And I have to look at it and say, what am I benefiting from it? And so I look at it as a parent, child, or best friend giving advice. And what these people do sometimes is will confirm what I tell them and go through another way. I think what happens, we just get so anxious that we desperately want the answers, that even though you'll give it free, they'll turn around and pay somebody else because they can't stand it. And they don't want to ask you 10 times in one day. I've actually lost friends. I had to give them up. One lady, I really liked this lady, a long time ago, late 90s. I actually had to tell her I couldn't deal with her anymore because she would try to call me four or five times in every day the same question. I would have loved if she'd asked me once and then called three other psychics. So it's kind of a hard boundary. The other thing is, and I've really been sincere with this, you have to measure how valuable your time is. I have people really take advantage of me. And so I just can't answer their lines sometimes. And the reason is that if I were calling them that often, they would have personal boundaries up. So personal boundaries is the hardest thing I had to learn. And
well, Nancy, you know, I think a lot of people don't understand. I know, having watched you do this and discussing it before and after with the process that you go through, and I think a lot of people do not realize, and probably everybody in our chat room does realize this, that what you go through when you prepare for a reading, you don't just get on the phone and turn a switch or get on the radio or address a group of people, turn on a switch, and all of a sudden you're a psychic. I mean, this, of course you are all the time, but mm-hmm. But I do know that it takes a tremendous amount of energy from you. It's not mm-hmm. your average energy level that you're exuding when you're giving this information. And often I also know that as you're preparing for reading, like you'll tell me, well, I've got somebody calling in 15 minutes. I better get off the phone. I want to relax and think about it. So I know you even prepare yourself
mm-hmm.
for that
mm-hmm.
mood and energy level. So I don't think everyone who talks to you realizes it's a tremendous expenditure of energy. And if you did it all day long, you would just expire. I mean, you wouldn't be able to maintain that. Isn't that true? You're very high energy level, even during this show. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And it clearly, people have no idea. I've actually had, and for those who are listening and not just in the chat room, if you're kind of curious, and I don't mind sharing this, and I apologize for my voice. There it is again. I wear it out. It takes a lot of energy to do this, and people say, but you should give your gift away free because you were born with it. Well, how about if I said to you, you're a natural cook, so you should cook my meals, and you should cook the family
right.
because you're natural at it.
Right.
And then that personal boundary is gone. And the other thing is people don't realize that I have to put my energy to somebody and blend with them and go into their time and space. I've had the most amazing things asked of me, and I think, wow, that person wants me to have that much power. And I kind of asked somebody once, I said, where do you think I'm going to get this? Do you think it's typed up in kind of a header right in front of my eyes, I'm reading it? Or do you think I'm just an extraordinary good guesser? And I know that people think I talk 8 hours a day and every minute is counted for and paid. Absolutely not. I try not to do more than 3 or 4 readings a day. And I try to put them out so that they're not so overlapping. And it depends on the person. If I have a longtime client, it's easier to talk to them than a brand new person. So,
well, you know what else,
they're comfortable with
me. Something else occurs to me as we're discussing this. This is probably what we're defining as the difference between you and people who just call themselves psychics and really aren't. I mean, you go into, you and I have discussed the zone. We've discussed that mm-hmm. frequently. And, in fact, you're even calling your radio program the psychic zone. When you really are making a maximum effort, a lot of people, they put so much energy into something that they become the zone. When people are talking to you, they are talking to a real, genuine psychic. I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who say they are, but they don't go into any special orbit of energy as you do. So that's really what I mean, the people who are listening, I want to tell you that I have seen Nancy when she's just, you know, she's at a level that is so extraordinary, and she starts to talk about things that are so evolved and amazing, and subjects that are so advanced. And I often think to myself, now I know that Nancy did not learn that in graduate school, and yet she's expert in subjects that a lot of us have never heard about. And this is all, she's all channeling this as a psychic. So she is a genuine psychic. And it's possible that a lot of people she's talking to just don't know the difference. They think, oh, it's just somebody picks up a phone and starts talking. That is not a genuine psychic.
No, no. And I don't want to put anybody, if you use a tool, if that's how you concentrate, I just don't. So when you kids are talking to me and want a session with me, you just get all of me. I have something. Tonight I'm having iced tea versus a coffee because it's been warm, and I was exercising earlier. So, but normally I have scratch paper. So when you talk to somebody who is born with a gift, you get somebody who can access a lot of levels. That's why I like talking to dead people, because it's so unique to have that ability, and I just, you know, it's just really, really amazing. Bonnie, thank you for bringing it up.
You're welcome. I think it's important to describe that, and just what you said. I don't know if the rest of people who are listening were a little bit knocked off their chairs, as I was. I mean, I'm used to Nancy saying this kind of thing. I like to talk to dead people.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, that's not the kind of thing that you hear everybody say, but Nancy says it, and yes, she does talk to dead people.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I've also had some kind of experiences myself. I think it kind of runs a little bit in our family, but Nancy's so
a lot
extremely developed in this way. I mean, she really sees spirits and can describe what they look like. And
oh, yeah.
On her radio show, I got to share this with, I love this line. There was this guy, and Nancy started describing this person. And at first I thought, is she talking about somebody that just walked into the room? Or what? And so she started to describe this guy on the radio.
Thanks,
and she
man.
Said, "Does anybody know so and so?" And so somebody called in and they said, "Yeah, I know that guy." And Nancy said, "Well, he's sitting right in front of me. I couldn't ignore him." And of course, spirit.
I think,
you know,
that was that was one situation, but that was the there was two situations, and this man called in and was talking about his dead father. And I said to him, I says, "Oh, and did he look like so-and-so and so-and-so?" And he says, "Oh, my God, yes, so you described my dad." And I says, and he says, "How did you know?" And I says, "Well, he's sitting here grinning at me."
I couldn't ignore him, yeah.
Is that what I said? I couldn't ignore him. He's sitting there grinning
That's
at me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so
the other one was,
huh? You take it for granted. You take this for granted, and she's just telling everybody the truth. She's telling you what is happening to her. I think, you know, maybe some people are thinking, oh, she's making that up. No, she's not.
No.
She's not.
In fact, I'm on 1480 a.m. Saturday nights in Phoenix, and they do have a live stream. And if you're interested, I've completed my fourth show, and every show, three out of the four, we had people showing up in the room. And one of them was interesting. One was an older lady, and as I kind of was trying to see, there was a man standing next to her. I couldn't describe him yet. I says, "Oh, my gosh, this lady called in. This lady just showed up in the booth here, and she says she's been dead around 6 months." And the lady, who I just happened to know, Eloise, called in. She says, "My God, you just described my mother who died in June." And our mother just died in June, too. But I described her dead mother. And then the man showed himself to me. And I says, "Oh, my. And did your father look like?" And she says, "Oh, that's my dad." And over, 100,000 people listening to the radio show. So it takes a lot of, I don't know what the right word would be, but, you know, when you're looking at somebody, and that's one of the things I enjoy. And you kids all listen to Blog Talk enough to know that even in the chat room, you guys can ask me something about a dead person, and that seems to be an area. And most of the time, natural-born psychics have a little better ability at that. And Bonnie, you have the gift, too. You just haven't been at it for 20 years. You've only been at it for a year. So even after a year or two of talking on the show with me, I think, Bonnie, you're very extraordinary gifted, too. It's just a matter
of... Well, I had a lot
there.
Of experiences when I was younger. I mean, lots of them. Nancy and I both did. Nancy just, you know, she got into got very interested in the psychic world in her, you know, about 15, 20 mm-hmm. years ago or so. I just kept having these psychic experiences, and they were scaring the living daylights out of me. So,
yeah.
I mean, from the time I was a little kid. And so the difference was I just wasn't developing it until pretty much now. So now that we're that I'm more developing it for these purposes, it's really, really interesting how when you turn on the spigot, you allow it to flow instead of just saying, oh, that scares me to death, I don't want to listen, and you allow it to flow. It'll come, and that's kind of answering the question that Mischief Maker had. He's asking whether you can have become a psychic later in life.
I don't know.
Is it something, I guess it'd be something you pretty much always had to have, but you're turning on the spigot. Is that kind of the answer?
Absolutely. I think that people, and I saw his question also, I was this way during my 20s, 30s, raising children, and my first husband would say, oh, women's intuition. And in 1990, yeah, in 1990, yeah, really, 1990, I ventured into this, and I haven't looked back. In 92, I walked away from a career with a telephone company as a supervisor to do this full time. So I walked away from a pretty comfortable life and a good job. I jumped in, so I've been at it for 20 years. Almost 20 years, you know, pretty soon here. But I was raising children, and I was on riding horses. And if you have a chance, if you need to know about kids or you're worried about your horse you're going to ride, you get to where you're accessing psychic ability. Clearly, though, our father had it, his mother had it, her mother had it. So the switch or access availability, the switches were easily turned on and off. Bonnie went to college. She was moving back from a training job. Oh, so maybe she didn't pay attention as close as I was.
Well, some of them, you know, I don't know.
Then
what happens
so,
to me a lot, I don't, Nancy, I don't know if you have this, but things just come crashing in on me. Like the other day, you know, I had this, I knew who I was going to hear from, and sure enough, I did. And years ago, I had some extraordinarily accurate they just kind of come crashing into my life. It's almost as though I've been ignoring them. And when they hit me like that, they kind of, I feel like I've been knocked out of my chair. And they always come true. I mean, it's like you've been, have you ever noticed that when you have a psychic experience, you're not talking to somebody, but something hits you from the outside?
Oh, sure.
Have you ever had that sense of almost force knocking you right off your chair?
Oh, I imagine
Everybody
has, and I was just sharing with a group that because of mom's passing, Bonnie became more in tune to mom's needs. And then when she lost her job, she and I talked so much that she said, gee, you're having too much fun at this, Nancy. Why don't we do a show? And that's how this all started. Bonnie, I want to kind of go back to the chat room real quick. Someone's
sure.
asked, can you contact dead people at will, or it is just random that they show up like a seance? That's a really great question. Because I've been doing readings, I wouldn't say every day, but gosh darn a lot. Compared to most psychics, I'm pretty busy. So every day I'm accessing the paranormal worlds at a time. So I've learned to switch off my switches. So I'm sitting here, and we're talking about dead people. I'm going to turn that switch on. So I do it at my choice. If I'm doing a radio show and someone asks about a spirit, I'm going to switch on. And it kind of like stays on until I switch all of them off. So I'm doing the radio show and someone says, and then for the rest of the people showing up that maybe I didn't see them 5 minutes earlier because I turn the switches on to do the job and I learn to turn it off. So I learned maybe during my 20s and 30s, I was out of control psychic, and that probably didn't help my marriage. My first husband was a policeman. So you have that police activity around a person. They come home, and I remember thinking that he came into the house with charcoal gray spots all over him. And I thought everybody could see that. So I had the abilities, but I didn't know what to do with them. When I started readings, I learned I didn't have to be on switch all the time. Through the process of psychometry, I pick up an object, I get information, I put it down. Then after a year, I stop using objects altogether because I realized I was just going to the person anyway. So You can learn the abilities anytime. You can practice anytime. And a seance will turn the switches on. I don't want to be in the on switch. I would go mad.
Yeah.
In the movie, the show on TV, The Ghost Whisperer, it appears that she's in the on switch all the time. That would be very disruptive. I'm not on switch all the time. I don't want to be. And at one point, I thought to myself, you know, I could do something. The medium helps the police all the time. She's in switch on. Well, actually, no, because in the program, she's given information, check into this person, do this or that, and she probably has a switch that goes on. But I've limited so much over the years that I don't get names like they do. And I don't want to see people all the time, because I'm sure if I allowed it, when I just think about it and look around this room, I know there's people standing all around. And it gets pretty tiring, because it takes my life force to give them energy so I can see them fully. And that can be pretty tiring. And then the last one is somebody says, I have a boyfriend who's got cancer. And they do meet up in the dreams. And Robert Monroe, Far Journeys and Journeys Out of the Body, did speak to the activities of our sleep, that we do have spirit communication in the sleep state, and that means living and dead. So absolutely, that is very, very, I'm just looking to see if that, if I called up and asked about my deceased father, could he be contacted? Only if he wanted to be. And that is the downside. I had a lady come visit me in Sierra Vista in the house, and she came out and wanted to talk to her mother. Well, she brought in like 15 people. And I says, oh, my gosh, this woman's got a crowd with her. And I just start pointing to them. I described them all. Not one of them was her mother. So guess what? She's all disappointed. Felt like I should give my money back. But I was worn out from describing all these dead people. She recognized half of them. So the half of them were someone she had met at least once. Well, when the woman left.
How nice.
Mother shows
I mean,
up.
How nice to have such a crowd around you like that.
Absolutely. She didn't even wasn't flattered. No, she wasn't even flattered. But when she left, the woman showed up.
Oh.
And I says, well, why didn't you show up when the mother, when the what your daughter was here? She says, oh, she just wants to see if I forgive her, or she wants to forgive for what she did. And I just not in the mood. I couldn't believe it. Oh, God, I wanted to call her and say, you won't believe this, the mother showed up. Well, then she's not going to believe me. But it clearly, there was a problem. So if they have an attitude, if they want to show up, fine. If they don't, I wouldn't get them. So you could still call up and give me his first name. But if I don't get him, I don't get him. They're people without flesh, and they do what they want to do. So that's really fascinating.
Nancy, there's a very touching story here in our chat room as well from Lizzie Najeman. I hope I got this pronunciation correctly.
Good for you,
she said earlier that she dreams about her son all the time, and we acknowledge that he is visiting me. And then below she says, my son is in the room with me at different times during the day and night. Bless your heart. I'm sorry for the loss of your son, but as you have determined, he is with you, and he. And the soul does survive, and so he.
Uh-huh.
This is the acknowledgement that you needed, that your son has survived in his soul, and he is with you. Nancy, do you have any sense of Lizzie's son? They're very close, obviously.
Well,
that?
Our father, when he passed away, he was only 33, and in his mother's later years. We had taken her to the bank. It was in the 80s, and I was taking care of her. And she turned to, it was a bank official, and we were doing business. And she turned to him, and she says, you know, I've just lost my son. And it so profoundly hit me, because it had been 25 years since he died, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I was so taken back, because I could feel the mother love. And even though I couldn't identify, because I was so, Bonnie and I were only 5 and 6 when he got killed, that at that age we didn't have a concept of missing. We didn't understand. And he was a commercial artist for Universal Studios, and he was always traveling. So we didn't have the same kind of connection. But I know that if you are missing, longing, desiring, that person will stay with you until you're healing or forever. So I feel like our father was with his mother, not more than his wife or us, but I know she always said to me, there isn't a day that she doesn't feel him. And she was the one, he was very gifted, but she was the one that had the gift. So I suspect they had a very psychic bond, and it continued until she died.
And it's
so I want to say
they had a difficult relationship, but they were so close. They were really joined at the hip. Seriously, I mean the cord was never cut. But yeah, Lizzie, bless your heart. I can see your son. Nancy, do you actually see him? I know it sounds a little crazy, but he's a slender young man. He is a slender young man, isn't that correct, Lizzie? Let me know if that's correct. That's what I'm seeing. Maybe perhaps it's someone else, but dark hair, is that? If you're still there, could you let us know? Sorry, Nancy, that just kind of came
That's
blinding.
Okay. There's another question. Stop here. The adoption or not? It's the love of family that connects people. Her father was 39 when he passed. We found out 10 years later that when the grandmother died that he was adopted. Now I'm very curious about my father's real family. Yes, that's really hard when they're adopted. Finding that connection to the biological is really tough. As far as a love connection, well, who does father visit? The adoptive family, your family, that's not even... It's who raises us that the bond is there, not the physical. And like I said earlier, I was really surprised how many numbers out there of people who've been adopted. And clearly, what you're we got 3 minutes left. During World War II, the numbers of people that were adopted statewide and overseas was huge, huge. As you know, in Europe, people were panning out their children all across the country and to the Americas. And so during the Dust Bowl, during the World Wars, children in America the families had abandoned, or the parents had gone overseas to the war, those children were farmed out. We have a huge, I can't even tell you, one out of four or five people have a child that's been adopted in the family, or every two or three families have adopted children. It's huge. It just dumbfounds me.
Wow. Nancy, can I say something to Lizzie real quick? She answered the question that, yes, he was a slender young man with dark hair. And the reason I mentioned that was that I saw him sitting next to her with a leg crossed and kind of leaning over. He was in a chair, and it was like he's very near her on a kind of a stool. He's got one leg crossed over his ankle on his knee. I know this is, it blows me away when this happens, but I just saw him. And so bless your heart, Lizzie, and I wrote to you here. I'm so glad that you were with us tonight. Thank you for sharing, and we all feel for you. So
yes,
thank you.
It's terrible to lose.
Oh, Lord.
It's terrible to lose someone in the family. And I apologize for my voice. We only have a minute left, Bonnie. And everybody, if you are interested in my show in Phoenix, it's 1480. Go to nancynapps.net and go down the page. You'll find the box, 1480. On the weekend, you can hear it live over the Internet. For the Phoenix people in the Phoenix Basin, it's 1480 a.m. And if you would like to advertise on my show, I will do the commercial for you and advertise on my website in that area, so everybody can see that you're advertising on my show. So if you're interested, do get hold of me. I'm looking for merchants to help sponsor the show. So, Bonnie, any parting words tonight, dear? You've done fabulous. Thank you.
I'm so glad. Thank you. I'm so glad that we've had a chance to talk about these subjects tonight because we don't usually. So, yes, please, if you guys would like to hear more of this kind of discussion, please just write and let us know. It's just great. Lizzie says, thank you so much. I do have a stool rest to my bed. So she has a stool next to her bed. So that might explain why I saw him sitting on a stool. Interesting. Yeah, I think this is a great subject to talk about. And thank you, everybody, tonight. It's been a wonderful show. I loved getting Nancy to open up and talk about her, I think, genius. my sister is a
no,
genius.
No, Bonnie. She, everybody,
always,
she loves me.
No, I just always thought so all my life, so this is nothing new. Anyway.
Thank you, everybody. And you have a great week. And listen to Bonnie next Thursday, not this Thursday. We're going to do every other week. All right, kiddo.
And
talk to
you
later.
Good night.
I'll
good
be
night,
with her.
Everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.